Good Saturday morning. Thanks for tuning in to Local Matters on KTLO. This is Heather Loftus. Joined with us once again, it's tax season, so you know who's here. Marcella Norell of H&R Block.
Good morning, Heather.
Happy Saturday.
Thank you. It's good to get out of the office for a few minutes.
I bet. Yeah, you guys have some pretty intense hours this time of year, don't you?
Yes, we do. Yeah. People go by and see my van there, and lights on all hours of the day and night.
Literally.
Literally, yes.
Speaking of, the office is open today, so if you're out driving around and you got that stack of information with you, there are appointments available on Saturdays. If you want to make that happen, you can go online and see what's available. Make your appointment online. You can also call a number and someone answers the phone and you get to talk to a real live person and say, hey, what's available?
That's,
I love it.
That is correct. We have live people answering the phone and they have appointment books right in front of them so they can make appointments right then.
Live people that are actually live in Mountain Home or Flippin or wherever. Whatever you're calling. Tax day is coming up. No extra days this year. It's going to be April 15th. You're stuck with it. You have to roll with it.
It is a tight schedule this year. Three less days. So it is April 15th.
Is everybody ready? I mean, is it, you know, are we still, you know, what's the mood of the taxpayers? Can you describe that yet?
Apprehensive. You know, there's been so much news. They've hearing, you know, rumors floating, as they are every year, but this year seems a little worse. You know, it came out last week, the $10,000 lady that owed $10,000 instead of getting $10,000 back. So that's the first question everybody asks when they walk in. You know, I'm really scared this year. I'm worried about my refund. So we almost have to look at that right at the very, very beginning and say, okay, here's kind of where you stand. Now let's work on it.
Yeah, I've got an article that I sent you as well. And we were reading it. You know, the title is What Happened to My Refund?
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody thinks that they're not going to get their refund this year. You and I have talked about this. We talked about it last year.
Mm-hmm.
As you prepare for your 2018 taxes, we also talked about the first time we recorded. You know, there are some changes, but there's a big difference between federal changes and state changes as well.
That's correct. And, you know, the federal changed their withholding tables back in February of 2018. And a lot of people never noticed that their withholding actually decreased, which is why they got a little bit more per paycheck. And, you know,
Which our politicians told us, I mean, you know, you're going to see more money in your paycheck, which is absolutely true.
That's correct. And while it's supposed to be geared toward the tax changes that are supposed to decrease your tax, you know, all of this is a guesstimate on your withholding, on your tax. You know, what's it going to actually be until we get to the end? So when they change that withholding, they're really kind of doing a guesstimate. And it's really not going to matter until you get here at the end and actually file your tax return for 2018. So if some of those changes that they anticipated applying to you don't apply to you, then you're not going to have much change in your tax, which is going to result in less refund. Mm-hmm. We worked on that all last tax season so that, you know, we would know kind of this tax season where you were going to stand. Mm-hmm. And yes, people's tax has decreased. Overall, I would say most people's tax has decreased. But a lot of people's tax didn't decrease as much as their withholding.
Mm-hmm. Especially so unless you adjusted that withholding in February, you're not realizing what you thought you might be getting now.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially with the married couple that both work, where both of their withholdings decreased, and maybe they decreased more than what their joint tax liability is now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but for the most part here in Arkansas, you know, we're pretty lucky in that we're not a state that has a super high tax rate. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that it's higher than some, and I know it's higher than some. But
Mississippi.
Yeah, Mississippi. Thank God for Mississippi, right? But our real estate tax also is fairly low. A lot of people don't think that, but it really is. You start comparing it to Illinois, you know, some of the other states up north, and then even Texas that doesn't have a state income tax.
They
compare
get you
your
the
real estate.
Woo!
Yes, it hits hard. And, you know, so they put a cap of $10,000 if you itemize on those types of deductions. Well, in Arkansas, it's very few people that hit the $10,000. But you get into some of the other states, like I think it was New Jersey, wasn't it, the lady was from? You know, their real estate tax right there could be over $10,000. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, then they are losing deductions because of that. And then the other thing is the mortgage interest, because, you know, our homes typically don't sell for over $750,000. That's not the common average. But you get into Hawaii, California, New York, New Jersey, you know, some of those houses could go very easily for over $750,000. And those were the states that were crying the most when they put that limit on how much interest you could deduct on your personal home and limited it to mortgages of $750,000. So those things really can hurt people in other places that are not hurting us and showing up here. So we're pretty fortunate, I think.
But they're showing up on the TV, so we think it's going to hurt us.
That's correct, because that's the ones you hear about. You know,
so, that's where the TV stations are.
Yes, it is. And that's what's making the most impact. So if they're looking for something that is the tax code is making an area that's it's making the most impact, they're going to go to those places. So
I know the number one question when people come in to see you and sit down with their file of paperwork is, all right, tell me, you know, how are you going to save me some money? So we're going to play a game today.
Okay.
Let's talk about credits and deductions.
Okay.
Because I think we all, as taxpayers, get a little confused on what is classified as a credit and what's classified as a deduction.
And that's correct. Mm-hmm. Because when I start explaining to people, okay, if you have a deduction of $2,000 and they're sitting over there going, $2,000, oh, that can save me quite a bit. And it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That means you have a deduction of $2,000 and that is not going to save you dollar for dollar.
Right.
So it's whatever tax bracket you're in, which most people right now are in the 10, 12, and 22.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's our three most common tax brackets. So if you're in a 10% bracket, that $2,000 is only going to save you $200.
Right.
So, you know, that is the difference. Now, if we talk about education credit and the American Opportunity Credit, that is a $2,500 credit, that means that that's a credit against tax dollar for dollar. So when we say a $2,500 limit, it saves you $2,500. Of course, to get that full $2,500, you have to have $4,000 in education credits, qualified education expenses that you've paid. So
to get $2,500, you have to have $4,000. And what makes up a $4,000 education credit? Tuition,
books, fees. Books, supplies that you have to have for the courses.
Mm-hmm. Meal plan, housing.
Meals and housing does not count.
Okay,
so your meals and housing is not a qualified education expense. So you know, you can get scholarships for that,
right,
but it's not a qualified education expense for the credit.
But for a student at ASU Mountain Home, they could take their tuition and books and fees and lab costs or whatever they have, since housing and meals isn't necessarily part of their overall expense, but they could take the majority of that there.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And the way the credit is calculated, the formula for it, it's the first $2,000 you spend, it's 100%. So if you spend $2,000, and that's typically what we see kind of for tuition and fees in Mountain Home by the time you add those together and then their books, you know, then you're going to have $2,000 easily. So it's 100% of the first $2,000 you spend, and then 25% of the next $2,000 you spend. So that's how we come up with the $2,500 maximum credit. So it's a very, very good credit. It's called the American Opportunity Credit, and it's to help pay for the first 4 years of college. There's other...
Now, let me ask you, too. A $2,500 credit, you know, that means when I file my taxes, I'm going to get $2,500 cash back for that.
That's correct. Okay, there are other limitations now. Okay,
right.
Let's go into that. Because on the American Opportunity, that is $2,500 credit, 40% of that is refundable.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and this is the difference between a refundable credit and a non-refundable credit.
There's so many rules.
But aren't they fun to talk about?
I'm not sure I've had enough coffee, but let's proceed.
Okay. A refundable credit means if your tax is zero, you can actually get that money back in your pocket.
Okay.
So on the refundable portion of the American Opportunity, which is up to $1,000, 40% of whatever your credit is, then that money can actually come back in your pocket even if your tax is zero. The other 60% is limited to tax. So if your tax is only $1,200, then you're only going to get $1,200 of that instead of $1,500
right.
of that. So it because it is limited to tax. So that's the difference between a refundable credit and a non-refundable credit. You know, and you have to know which one of those credits are refundable and which ones aren't.
What is the most common 100% refundable credit there is that you see in our area?
That we see in our area is the American Opportunity Credit. You know, it's like right now, just about every return we're doing has some form of education credit on it. Mm-hmm. And it's because we have ASU Mountain Home, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it benefits us in the community, but it also benefits parents on taxes. It's an easy way for the kids to help pay for their first couple years of college at mm-hmm. least and get credits on their tax return. And that is the number one credit that we mm-hmm. see right now. Probably the number two is the child care credit. Mm-hmm. That's the child independent care is the credit that you get for paying your babysitter mm-hmm. to take care of your child while you work or while you go to school. Mm-hmm. And it's a percentage of the amount you actually pay. That credit needs to be expanded, and somebody
yes,
really needs to
amen.
Work on that because you don't get near enough credit for what you pay.
You don't get close.
You don't get close. If you know, it's limited to $3,000 that you spend on a child, which most places, it's more than that for you to pay for child care full-time year-round. And it's only, depending on your income, it's limited to 20 to 30%. There's a range there. Mm-hmm. And once your AGI, which is your adjusted gross income, exceeds a certain amount, you get 20% of what you pay as a credit against your tax up to $3,000. So it's a $600 credit for one child, and that is the maximum you get. Well, if you've paid out $5,800, that $600 doesn't seem like a whole lot. And, you know, it's worked down to less than 10% because of the limitation. They need to raise that limit on that because child care cost a lot more than it did back in the early 70s or whenever this credit came around. So they need to raise that limit.
Is there an age limit for the child?
Yes.
What is it?
13 or 15. I can't
okay.
remember which. Which,
okay.
when I tell parents that, it's always they're the ones that need it the most.
They get more expensive yes. as they age. That's exactly true. But if you're looking at, you know, an after school, you know, you have to pay someone after school or, you know, and two, you can count those babysitters throughout the year when you have to work a weekend or work a night. You know, a lot of times those kind of fall through the cracks mm-hmm. because, you know, your daytime tuition or whatever is too much anyway.
Right. You've reached mm-hmm. your max. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it hasn't helped you. And, you know, a lot of employers offer a tax-free benefit called dependent care benefits uh-huh. that you can exclude a portion of your child care right off the top on your W-2. And employers that have that, you know, you need to really look at that and work with a tax preparer mm-hmm. to see which is more advantageous mm-hmm. to have it excluded from gross income right off the top or to actually not do that and take it as a credit on your tax return. Or do a combination of something on them. You know, put part of it in a dependent care benefits package, put the rest of it on your tax return, or, you know, look at what works best for you.
Homeschooling is probably more prevalent now than it's ever been. Are there opportunities for parents who keep their kids at home and do homeschooling, either through pre-K means or even through elementary? I mean, if they're providing a child care benefit, but is there a tax benefit for someone in that position?
No.
Okay.
No expense for education, for lower education is deductible. You know, it's now there are some 529 plans out there that you can use for lower education. But no, as far as that tying into a child care credit or something like that, no.
That's unfortunate.
It is.
Let's take a break. You're listening to Local Matters on KTLO. Welcome back to Local Matters on KTLO. We're visiting once again with Marcella Norell of H&R Block. Three locations here in Mountain Home to serve you on College Street, Plazaway, out of course by TJ Maxx, and then on 201 North, and of course the location in Flippin, Main Street in Flippin. You can call today. They're open on Saturdays, open until
5 o'clock today.
5 o'clock? Oh, mm-hmm. I was going to say 2, so I'm glad I asked you. Open until 5 o'clock. I mean, they are in there getting things done today. And, of course, you can always go online and check out their website and book an appointment online, which I always think is fun.
You can go online and pick your own tax pro because they show up there. And so.
Does your little head pop up?
I don't know. You know, I haven't looked for me.
Oh, I have to.
So
see if
you'll
I can
have to look.
I'll look for you. I'll see if I can get you in a live chat or something like that.
Okay.
Hey, we were talking about, we were playing our deductions versus credits game. And one thing that you mentioned during the commercial break that a lot of people are asking you about is the residential energy credit this year.
Yes, they made some changes to that. That credit expired at the end of 2017. And they did not renew it for most items that people do for their homes, the insulation, new windows, new insulated doors. Mm-hmm. They did not renew it for that part. They've kind of reserved a section in case they bring it back. Mm-hmm. But right now, the only residential energy credit available is if you do geothermal, solar, something like that. But that is a good credit. It's like 30%. Of what you do for geothermal or solar.
Yeah, and it's not HVAC.
No,
yeah.
It's not just
it's
your
It's not
regular.
If you're going to get a new air conditioning unit.
No.
No, you have to do the big geothermal, dig up, in-ground, backyard,
yes.
Bury it,
wells,
run the lines.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, Matt Martin says it's easy, so I don't want to make it sound complicated.
and I think it is.
Yep.
It's just you got to dig a well.
That's
you
got to right.
have a well out there somewhere. But... You know, it is a good credit. It's like 30%, and it's a carryover credit. You remember we talked about before break the refundable and non-refundable and limited to tax. The geothermal, the energy saving credit, is limited to tax, but you can carry over what you don't use. So that helps because it doesn't just go away. You know, if you have a $3,000 credit, but your tax is only $200, you don't lose that other $2,800. You can carry it over and hopefully use it next year. Okay. So the other credit we have that we can talk about is child tax credit. Before break, we talked about child care credit, child independent care credit. This is the child tax credit. And
they need to work on their branding. The IRS really needs a new marketer.
Well, it's not IRS. It's Congress, remember, that passes the laws.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So maybe they need some new advisors. So you want to go to Washington, Heather?
Yeah. My plate is full.
Okay. Mine too. The child tax credit are for the two things this year. Typically, when they passed this a few years back, it was for children under 17. And everybody asked me, where do they get the 17? I can't tell you. I don't know. You know, whoever dreamed this up in Congress, that's the age they picked. But if they're under 17, then in 2017, you got a credit of $1,000 against your tax that if you didn't use it, part of it was refundable, so you could get it refunded to you. And if once they hit 17, you didn't get anything except claiming their dependency exemption. For 2018, now we have the child tax credit that has been doubled to $2,000, and you can still only claim it for your children that are under 17 or your dependents that are under 17. But part of it, it's refundable, is limited to $1,400. So you don't get the whole $2,000 back if your tax is zero. But they also expanded it for those children that hit 17 and other dependents. You know, if you're claiming your parents, then you get a credit of $500. that is a non-refundable credit, so you don't get any part of it back if you can't use it, but it is an additional credit that is against your tax. Mm-hmm. So it does help you. And this, I've seen this come in this year that has helped people, those that are claiming their kids that are still in high school. Mm-hmm. And people get confused on this credit because of the fact that age 17, I've had people ask me, well, they're 17, so I don't get to claim them anymore, right? No, that's not correct, mm-hmm. because you can still claim your children, you know, if they're
if
going
to
school, if you're providing their support, you know, you still can claim them, but it's that additional credit that you didn't receive.
Well, it's confusing, too, because you can carry them on your insurance now until they're
26. So, you know, once they reach 26, you can't claim them on your insurance. So, mm-hmm. you know, that was confusing to people, yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can claim your children until they're 24 if they're going to school, provided you're providing all their support, mm-hmm. no matter how much income they have. But once they hit 24, then you're limited on how much income they can have mm-hmm. before you can claim them as a dependent. So it makes a big difference. Those ages really throw people and get them confused. That's why you need somebody like me.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I said between the difference between the refundable and the non-refundable credit and all these, you know, you get 25% of the $2,500 up to $4,000. I was just like, this is why you need a professional doing all of these things. I mean, I know there are a lot of online programs that, you know, when you say, oh, well, I don't own anything. My taxes are really easy. I only have a couple forms I get. I just plug those numbers in and boom, I'm done. Well, there's a whole nother world on this little piece of paper right here that unless you have these conversations, you don't know anything about.
That's correct. And you know, when you go on those online programs, I mean, how they're set up is they're geared to ask you questions. Mm-hmm. If you don't understand the question you're answering,
if you don't know the difference between the child tax credit or the child care credit,
uh-huh. that's the terminology that you're going to see. You know, they're going to ask you questions about this, and you know, you need to be able to answer those questions in order to get there. You know, garbage in is garbage out. That's still true. You know, it's the way it is. And you know, there are people that, yes, probably legitimately could do their taxes online and be just mm-hmm. fine. Mm-hmm. But there are things that go beyond mm-hmm. just preparing your tax return. There's a saver's credit that is also a non-refundable credit, mm-hmm. but it's a credit that was set up a few years ago to encourage people to save for retirement. So depending on your income, you get a percentage as a credit of whatever you put into your 401k at work, mm-hmm. you put into an IRA. You know, you put into some type of qualified retirement plan. And that saver's credit can be like 10% of what you put in. 10% is the bottom. 50% of what you put in is the max, depending on your income. So I've had clients that, you know, I've worked with on this that we've encouraged that they want to save for retirement. Mm-hmm. So we look at it when we're doing the tax return to figure out, okay, if you put $1,000 into an IRA, mm-hmm. it's going to save you $500. You just gained $500 in a retirement plan that didn't cost you a dime. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
that the government was going to get if you didn't do it.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, that helped fund your IRA. You can do that mm-hmm. and save on your tax return all the way up till April 15th. Mm-hmm. That's the questions that you need somebody to help you through mm-hmm. to come out better. Mm-hmm. Then you can go to the flip side of that. I tell my clients I don't want to ever see a client waste mm-hmm. dollars the government's going to get them, mm-hmm. give them. So if you're married, filing joint, and you're both 65, this year you can have $26,600 in income that is tax-free. If you have money in a deferred account, you need to be drawing that money out mm-hmm. because tax deferred means that someday somebody's going to pay tax on it. So if you can get it out now tax free and put it in something that's not tax deferred, then you have just beat the system.
If you So if you can take out up to $26,000 a year, you're golden?
You're golden, because that's how much money you can have and pay no tax.
Mm-hmm.
So let's figure out the very max you can get out without any income tax and get it moved so that your beneficiaries do not have to pay tax on it then when they get it. What happens if something happens to one of the spouses and the other one needs more money to live on? Because the fact of life is that when something happens to one of you, the other one's income's going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happens, let's have more money available to them that is not going to cost them an income tax that they can use to supplement that income that is now lower.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad part is their income's lower, but their tax goes up because there's only half of them. So it's those are things that's called tax planning. And that's the things you need somebody who knows what they're doing to help you with.
I also wanted, in terms of tax planning, I want to talk to you about charitable giving
mm-hmm.
and the charitable deductions, because the word of mouth out there is, well, you know, I'm not going to get as much money back for any charitable giving that I do. So charitable giving, they said, did see a decrease last year. Now, I don't know if any of that's true or not, but that, you know, that's what people are talking about. But there is a point of where if you look at your personal charitable giving, you either give a certain amount and give it to charity, or you're either going to give that back to the government. I mean, those two can cross, correct?
Those two can cross to an extent, yes. Because, and, you know, the sad part about rumors is...
We believe them.
We believe them. And once we hear those rumors, then we lose sight of what really happens. You know? You're cute. It's just, it's bad. Okay? So last summer, or no, in 2017, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard to believe it's been over a year ago now. But in 2017, when they were talking about all the things they were going to do and that didn't happen, and getting rid of the charitable deductions was one of the things they were going to do. That was just, it was going to happen. Well, it didn't happen. As a matter of fact, they raised the amount that you can contribute and not be, and the limitation on it, because used to it was 50% of your adjusted gross income. Now it's 60% of your adjusted gross income. So they raised that limit. When they raised the limit, people really haven't heard about that. So they were all afraid that the charitable donations were going to be gone. It is true that there are less people that are itemizing on the federal this year because they did raise mm-hmm. the standard deduction. They didn't raise it as much as most people think they mm-hmm. did, because they eliminated the personal exemptions
mm-hmm.
and they combined that with the standard deduction. So what you had before total versus what you have now, it's a little higher now, but not near as much as people thought it was going to be. And that was another thing that they heard about that didn't quite work out the same way. So when they had their charitable deductions and they're all deciding they couldn't do them, that's what they said made charitable deductions go down. And I think people are still, yes, I think it's probably true they are down because they're thinking they can't deduct them. And this is another case where in Arkansas, we are better off because Arkansas is more of a standalone tax return.
I was going to say, everything you just said goes to the federal side of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to also say, okay, back up, because nothing's really changed with Arkansas in terms of charitable giving.
In terms of charitable giving and in terms of itemizing your deduction. Arkansas standard deduction is only $2,200 per taxpayer,
mm-hmm.
$4,400 on a married filing joint or filing separate on the same return. So, you know, most people can meet that. With their real estate tax, personal property tax, their health insurance, their charitable contributions, they can meet that deduction. Even our over-the-road employees that have a lot of expenses related to their job, IRS or Congress eliminated that deduction with the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. But that was on federal. On Arkansas, it's still deductible. So Arkansas developed their own form for that, that instead of just using the federal form now, they have their own form so that you can go ahead and deduct those expenses on the state.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Arkansas does their own thing, and they're more so doing their own thing because they're not changing their tax laws on the same level and consistency as the federal is. So
I think that should be our new state motto, Marcella. We do our own thing.
There we go. We do our own thing.
I mean, would that not be a Chamber of Commerce win right there? We do our own thing. Come on in.
Yes. And it's really kind of fared Arkansas well because so many states that have had so many crises, and Arkansas's come out pretty good during all of that. So, you know, I was really proud of Arkansas when California was having problems, Illinois having problems, Missouri was having problems financially, and our little state was here and we were sitting pretty.
Absolutely. So we may all have some personal differences, but you know, our state's been doing okay. Knock on wood. Let's keep it moving that way.
Yes. So.
Marcella Norell with H&R Block. Again, three locations here in Mountain Home, College Street, Plaza Way, and on 201 North. And, of course, Main Street in Flippin. You can call any of those and set an appointment. Go online and find out any upcoming appointments. And after we get off the air, I'm going to go online and see if I can get a little pop-up head of Marcella's to appear on the H&R Block app and have a live chat. We'll see how that works.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't keep my chat line open. How's that?
Hey, you're going to be back one more time before the big day, yes?
Yes, I am. All and right. We'll talk about things that you can still do to save on your tax return. What happens if you get an IRS letter? Yeah. Then if you can't pay on April 15th, what's your options? Those are always hot topics for that time.
Absolutely. So happy tax season. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
You've been listening to Local Matters on KTLO.